first.
He has been a professional money manager for the last 18 years. He is a regular contributor to the Fox Business Channel and Bloomberg Radio. In addition to this, he is a regular contributor to TheStreet.com and MarketWatch.com. Now he's live here on the Wall Street Business Network. Here is Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning, August 5th. It's the live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, headquartered here in San Diego, California, with Gunderson Capital Management. We have a little bit of a down start to the day and to the week after hitting new all-time highs last week. We have the S&P right now down 3.5 points to 1,706. But we remain above that level, which has never been seen before in the history of the stock market. 1,700 plus on the S&P 500, 1,706, in fact. The Dow is up minus 52 points today. It's in the red. We've been spoiled lately. We've had a lot of up days, but the market needs a breather every once in a while, and we're down 52 this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 15,606. The NASDAQ is down a couple points this morning, just two. It's faring better than the other indexes. I've noticed Apple has really improved lately. The chart of Apple has improved, and that has been improving and helping the performance of the NASDAQ. NASDAQ down two at 3,687. The 10-year yield. Boy, that's been one of the keys to this year's market. It is holding steady today at 2.63. That's what you'll get for a 10-year U.S. Treasury right now. Gold is down $2 an ounce at $1,308 per ounce. Oil is down a buck per barrel at $105.94. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour, where every day, Monday through Friday, we do our best to walk you through the markets and let you know where we are at any given point in time. Now, of course, this past week, we had a historic event in the market. We had the S&P cross over 1700 and, in fact, close at 1708, I believe, last Friday, and we also had the Dow hitting new record highs. The NASDAQ's got a ways to go. The NASDAQ, believe it or not, the old high was 5,300. That was set back in March of 2000, and we may be a while before we see that level. We still got to go up about 40-50%, something like that, on the NASDAQ to get back to new all-time highs. But who knows, maybe 2-3 years from now, that's where we'll be. Let's take a look at recent events, however, in the market. Some are very memorable, and some we would rather forget. Let's go back about 6 years. In October of 2007, where were you in October of 2007? Well, here's where the Dow Jones Industrial was back in October of 2007. It was hitting a new high of 14,198. The economy was roaring. The housing market was roaring. Equity was building up in our house holdings. We were fat with equity. We were spending money like crazy from this growing equity in our homes. We were tapping our equity, taking out seconds and thirds and fourths and whatever else to get at those gains. Approximately 17 months after that Dow high of 14,198, the Dow hit 6,469. For 17 months from the height of giddiness to the depths of despair. Now think back where you were in March of 2009 when the Dow was hitting 6,469. Our 401ks had become 201ks because the market had dropped by 51.5% in the space of 17 months. Our equity in our homes, not only was it gone, but in many cases we now owed more than our homes were worth. Foreclosures were rocketing higher. People were losing their homes left and right. People were losing their jobs. It was a very ugly chapter in America's history, no doubt about it. The market lost 7,729 points in just 17 months, which again translates into a percentage loss of 51.5%. Okay, that was March of 2009. Now here we are in August of 2013, some 4 years and 6 months later, and we once again are hitting new all-time highs in the market. The Dow closed at 15,568 on Friday. Now here's a couple ways of looking at that. If you take a look at the high that the market set back in October of 2007 at 14,198, here we are 6 years later and we're only up 10% from that previous high. But in between these peaks, boy, did we have one heck of an abyss and a canyon. Another way of looking at the market where it is today, let's count it from the bottom. From that bottom that it hit back in March of 2009 at 6,469, the market is now up 140% from that low. I guess that leads to the question, at least in my mind, and I asked this question in my newsletter over the weekend, do you still believe in passive investing? Where do you stand on the passive versus active investing argument, which has gone on for years? On the one hand, the passive investors generally use one of two vehicles for their portfolios and for their retirement funds to be passengers on. Usually they're either passengers in index funds, which by nature have much lower expenses, and they stay fully invested through thick or thin. That means that over the last 7 years, you're up 9.6% in the market, and in between, you had a 51.5% drop that you had to suffer through. But it also means that since March of 2009, you're up 140%. As you can see, passive investing isn't exactly the smooth ride that is kind of cut out to be. You know, they tell you, well, you know, you're a lot better off. You can sleep at night by just buying some big index funds and waking up 10 years later, 15 years later, and you're ready to retire because those indexes have done their thing over time. But if you woke up on March of 2009, you had a nightmare. What? My portfolio's down 51.5% in the last 17 months. It can be quite a scary ride being a passive investor. The other vehicle that passive investors climb aboard are usually an asset allocation model or a buckets type of strategy. This strategy spreads you out over all the various asset classes depending upon your age. On the one hand, the stock market generally is one of your biggest buckets, and on the other hand, the bond market is one of your biggest allocations. And as you get older, you keep pulling money from your stock pail and putting it into your bond pail. Now, I gave some statistics over the weekend in my newsletter that had you had a 50-50 mix of stocks and bonds this year, you'd be up 3.8%. Well, on the one hand, 3.8% doesn't sound so bad. If you've lost 12% in bonds instead, you'd say, I wish I would have had that 50% stock exposure. But on the other hand, if you had 100% stock exposure this year, you're up almost 20% right now. 3.8% pales in comparison. In my opinion, this stock versus bond debate and how much you should have in your allocation is a very important one. A very, very important one. And in fact, it may be the key to your success going forward is just managing that mix, that simple mix between bonds and stocks. Having said that, this is 2013. What should your allocation be now? We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
Laissez-faire is a great policy for government, but a lousy idea for investors. We have to pay attention, but some of us don't have the time or inclination, so we ignore our investments and miss big opportunities. You can do better with Gunderson Capital Management. Bill Gunderson is a fee-based money manager for high-net-worth individuals all across America. You've seen his name in Barron's, Bloomberg, Fox News, MarketWatch, and TheStreet.com. You can put this kind of expertise to work for you, too. Bill tracks over 3,000 stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs. He ranks them on value and performance. Whether you're conservative, aggressive, or an income investor, Bill Gunderson will get you into the best stocks now. All accounts are safely held at Scottrade. Visit Bill's website at pwstreet.com or call Gunderson Capital Management at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Gunderson Capital Management is a registered investment advisor.
Rancho Financial, a division of Skyline Financial Group, licensed by the Department of Corporations under the California Residential Mortgage Act, 4130296. Not a commitment to land and not all applicants will qualify. Restrictions apply. Equal housing lender. Let's get right to the point. Craig Brock, the mortgage refinance specialist, is there to help you. The uncertainty of the European debt crisis actually provides an unprecedented opportunity to refinance your home. U.S. bond yields have fallen to their lowest levels. Freddie Mac's reporting a new low for mortgage rates. Craig Brock says, refinance now while there's still time for you to bail out, even if you owe more on your home than it's worth with the hard 2.0 program. But do it now. President Obama has announced changes to FHA's streamlined refinance program that helps more borrowers take advantage of historically low interest rates. It actually allows FHA borrowers to forgo strict loan underwriting requirements when refinancing to another FHA-insured program. And up to 3 million FHA borrowers are eligible for refinancing right now. Call Craig Brock. Craig Brock, the mortgage refinance specialist. He makes it easy. 855-900-EASY. Craig Brock, 855-900-3279.
Walking to an afternoon meeting, Charlotte reached for the stairwell door. That door's blocked, Bill said. But Charlotte had used it an hour earlier. Ignoring Bill's caution, she pushed it open. The next sound they heard was the crash of the door hitting a workman's ladder, then a paint can hitting the floor. No need to repeat the painter's reaction. Bill turned to a wide-eyed Charlotte and said, I warned you not to open the door. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Good advice does no good if we refuse to listen. The breakdown has something to do with pride. Attentive ears can prevent some colorful messes in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
You work so hard to build a portfolio, yet so many of us ignore it once we do or we tolerate lousy returns. You can do better with Gunderson Capital Management. Bill Gunderson is a fee-based money manager. He manages individual accounts all across America. Now, if you're thinking his name sounds familiar, that's because Bill is a regular contributor on places like Bloomberg Radio, Fox Business TV, MarketWatch, and TheStreet.com investment sites. Every day, Bill tracks about 2,800 stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs. He ranks them on value and performance. Bill focuses on the top 6 to 7% of the entire market. Whether you're conservative, aggressive, or an income investor, Bill will get you into the best stocks now, not the best stocks of yesteryear. Minimum account size is $50,000, and annual management fees range from between 1% and 2%, depending on the size of the account. All accounts are safely held in Scottrade.
Visit Bill's website at pwstreet.com or call Gunderson Capital Management at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Gunderson Capital Management is a registered investment advisor.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour, where we're tackling a big subject today that may really hold the key to your success over time in the market. In fact, I addressed this issue in my newsletter over the weekend, which you might want to take a look at the studies that I did in just how important the mix between stocks and bonds in your portfolio is. And of course, there's all different philosophies on this very subject. You'll notice that when Abby Joseph Cohen comes on, who's the chief market strategist for Goldman Sachs, she'll always say, well, Bob, we've changed our mix. We're going with a 60-40 allocation right now. And of course, their allocation is regardless of age. They believe that having 60% of your money in stocks right now and 40% of your money in bonds right now is the way to go. And of course, she comes on every few months. And if there's an adjustment in their stock and bond recommended allocation mix, Abby Joseph Cohen is the spokesman for that change. My question is it good to have always a mix of stocks and bonds? On the one hand, one would say, well, that's a lot safer way to go, because when the stock market's going down, the bond market's usually going up. And vice versa, when the bond market's going down, like it is this year, the stock market is going up. My problem with all of that is the studies that I've done, I've kind of proven to myself that this mix of stocks and bonds kind of leads to really mediocre performance over time. Yeah, I mean, it accomplishes what it's designed to do. It keeps you from losing too much money. But on the one hand, it really tempers you and keeps you from making too much money on the other hand. I mean, this year is a perfect example of that. A 50-50 bond stock mix this year would have you up just 3.8% overall for the year. And this has been one of the best years in the stock market with the gain of 19.8%. So you would have given up 16 points on the upside in order to protect yourself on the downside. However, you can go back now to 2008 and take a look at the returns of stocks versus bonds. That year, the stock market was down 38.5% and the bond market was up 32.1%. That's a differential of 70 percentage points. So basically, a 50-50 mix back then would have led to a small loss in the stock market versus a 38% loss in stocks. However, had you had your portfolio in all bonds back in 2008 or a high percentage in the bond market, you would have made 32%. So everybody has to decide for themselves. Obviously, the optimum would be to be out of the bond market when it's not performing, like this year. It's down 12% so far this year. And to be in the asset class that is performing, like the stock market, which is up almost 20% this year. That's the optimum. Now, nobody's going to be 100% correct, But I think you can see that it's very important how your stocks and your bonds are balanced at any given point in time. Now, I'm probably considered a radical. That guy, he's a radical. In fact, the gal that interviewed me from Reuters, their reporter, she was quite shocked. There was silence on the other end of the line back in New York City in the Big Apple when this money manager out in San Diego, as far away from New York City as you can possibly get, went against conventional wisdom and said, I don't believe in having any money in the stock market right or in the bond market right now. And of course, I said that several months ago. And what's happened to the bond market since then? And the stock market has gone on and flourished. But that leads to the question, well, how do you know? What indicators are you going to use to determine your stock versus bond mix? Is it your age? That's what an asset allocator would say. Well, we just use your age. We punch in your birth date. If you're 68 years old, you should have 68% of your portfolio in bonds, regardless of what the economy or the interest rate environment is like. You know, that's probably worked pretty doggone good over the last 20 years, over the last 10 years, over the last 5 years. Why? Because we've been in a falling interest rate environment. But now that we're in a rising interest rate environment, does that philosophy, does that theory still hold water? Will that mix do you well going forward over the next several years? I don't like it, personally. I think there will be a time when the bond market comes back into favor. More than likely, the bond market will come back into favor when the stock market finally decides that it's had enough of this current 4.5-year-old bull. Who knows when that will be? Could be a year from now. Could be next week. Could be 3 years from now. At that point in time, increasing your exposure to the bond market, to the cash market, will make sense. And lowering your exposure to stocks will also make sense. Has nothing to do with age, in my opinion. Now, I do believe that as folks get older, they should tone it down a little bit. They shouldn't be out there on the frontier in small cap biotech stocks at age 83. But I've got some clients like that, God bless them. They're the kind that are at the casinos on Friday. Not that bad, but it is a higher risk. You can't afford to take a big hit in your portfolio at your age. You're not working anymore. You can't make up that loss in your portfolio. Instead, I believe in strategically placing your assets depending upon the conditions that are in the world today. In my mind, there was no question. It was a 100% certainty that at some point in time, the Fed would start to back off their aggressive bond purchases and interest rates would start to head higher. I have said many times, why then would you stand on the railroad tracks with this freight train coming? And believe me, the Fed is the freight train when it relates to interest rates and the bond market. They control the spigot. And when they turn the spigot off, interest rates are going to go higher and the bond market is going to get hit. And I just can't see standing there and saying, well, my asset allocation says I should be 73% in bonds because I'm 73% years old. I'm 73 years old. No, I don't buy it. What are the best asset classes right now? When we come back, we'll line them up. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Every day, I meet people who are so proud of their stocks, but so humbled by their returns. Is that you? Do you own all the famous stocks of yesteryear? GE, Microsoft, GM, Cisco, whatever.
I'm Bill Gunderson, your next wealth manager. People tell me these stocks are safe. The only thing safe about them is that we can safely say that they have been bad investments over the last decade. We can fix it. I write about the best stocks now for MarketWatch, TheStreet.com, and for my newsletter. In the newsletter, you can see three model portfolios, one for aggressive growth, one for conservative growth, and one for income-oriented investors. Check out the performance for yourself. Not paying attention is not a good strategy. Checking out my newsletter is.
Visit Bill's website at pwstreet.com. That's pwstreet.com. Or call 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST to get a free 4-week trial. Gunderson Capital Management is a registered investment advisor.
Who knows what's going to happen to fuel prices in 2013? With unrest in the Middle East and more disagreement to come in Congress? Not me. Confidence, though, is just a phone call away, and it's called the Fuel Escort. Fuel Escort is the latest technology in the automotive aftermarket that can save you up to 30% on fuel costs. So no matter what happens in the Middle East or here at home, you know that you're getting the absolute most for your dollar, cutting your fuel costs up to 30%. That's not all. Fuel Escort can raise your gasoline's octane 4 to 5 points and increase your horsepower by up to 18%. Fuel Escort is super easy to install and also guaranteed. If you're not 100% satisfied, return Fuel Escort within 90 days for a full refund. That's right. Call toll-free 855-879-8394. That's 855-879-8394. Call 855-879-8394 or log on to FuelEscort.com. Fuel Escort, guaranteed.
Harry's career had gone, well, all right. Not every promotion had come through, but he was always willing to learn. Then, nearing retirement, Harry was asked to mentor a sharp young employee, new to the department. Harry couldn't help it. He detested the assignment. Mentor this young man? Support him? No, sir. Harry had earned his stripes. Now help some hotshot outdistance him. Resentment boiled, but Harry had no choice. He made himself talk with a newcomer, and to his surprise, the hotshot listened. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Harry spent the first part of his career learning. Then he discovered that in sharing his wisdom, everyone came out ahead in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Rancho Financial, a division of Skyline Financial Group, licensed by the Department of Corporations under the California Residential Mortgage Act, 413-0296. Not a commitment to land and not all applicants will qualify. Restrictions apply. Equal housing lender. Let's get right to the point. Craig Brock, the mortgage refinance specialist, is there to help you. The uncertainty of the European debt crisis actually provides an unprecedented opportunity to refinance your home. U.S. bond yields have fallen to their lowest levels. Freddie Mac's reporting a new low for mortgage rates. Craig Brock says, refinance now while there's still time for you to bail out, even if you owe more on your home than it's worth with the HARP 2.0 program. But do it now. President Obama has announced changes to FHA's streamlined refinance program that helps more borrowers take advantage of historically low interest rates. It actually allows FHA borrowers to forgo strict loan underwriting requirements when refinancing to another FHA-insured program. And up to 3 million FHA borrowers are eligible for refinancing right now. Call Craig Brock. Craig Brock, the mortgage refinance specialist. He makes it easy. 855-900-EASY. Craig Brock, 855-900-3279.
If you're a high net worth individual and want to stay that way, you have to pay attention to your investments. But some of us don't have the time or the inclination, so we ignore our portfolio and miss big opportunities. You can do better with Gunderson Capital Management. Bill Gunderson is a fee-based money manager for high net worth individuals all across America. You've seen his name in Barron's, Bloomberg, Fox News, MarketWatch, and TheStreet.com. You can put this kind of expertise to work for you, too. Bill tracks over 3,000 stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs. He ranks them on value and performance to find the top 7% of the market. Whether you're conservative, aggressive, or an income investor, Bill Gunderson will get you into the best stocks now. All accounts are safely held at ScottTrade. Visit Bill's website at pwstreet.com or call Gunderson Capital Management at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Gunderson Capital Management is a registered investment advisor.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour, where we're discussing today a very simple formula that may hold the key to success in your portfolio over time. And that's just the simple adjustment between stocks and bonds. Now, you may think from listening to my show, which is called the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour, and by checking out my app, which is the Best Stocks Now app, and my newsletter, which is the Best Stocks Now newsletter, that I don't deal in the bond market at all. Well, that's not true, because contained within my 3,400 or so different investment possibilities in my database are a great number of bond-related investments. Closed-end funds that invest in high-yield junk bonds, short-term treasuries, very short-term treasuries, which are basically cash. I mean, mortgage bonds, Ginnie Mae's. Those should all be taken into account when you are choosing the best 25 or 30 assets for your portfolio at any given time. And in the past, I've had a big exposure to the bond market, generally speaking, through exchange-traded funds, closed-end funds, and mutual funds. I'm not a real fan of buying individual bonds. I like to catch bonds when they're in favor and when they're one of the leading asset classes. And when they're out of favor and they're not a leading asset class, I don't like to have any exposure to the bond market. So let's take a look at this week's asset class rankings. And let's see if there's been any change. We've had the same trends basically in place now since last November. Are those trends still in place, or are we starting to see a little bit of movement in the leaderboard? Well, let's take a look. The leading asset class out of the 45 that I track, and I basically am interested in the top 10 or so. I very rarely go below that unless we have a very broad advance in the market. But right now, my focus is on the top 10 asset classes. And this relates to this basic mix of stocks versus bonds. Okay, let's go through the top asset classes. Number one, small cap dividend stocks. Number two, small cap value stocks. Number three, micro cap stocks. Number four, mid cap value. Number five, small cap growth. Number six, mid cap growth. I think you're seeing a theme develop here. Number seven, large cap value. Number eight, large cap dividend stocks. Number nine, the NASDAQ. In other words, technology stocks. What are the top nine? Let's do 10 just for fun. Number 10 is large cap growth. What do the top 10 all have in common? The top 10 asset classes are all equities or stock related. That's important. What else do they have in common? They're all domestic. Nothing foreign. That's also important information to know. Now let's look at the worst asset classes, the bottom 10. Well, at number 45, we have being short the market. Yeah, I consider that an asset class. Why not? It's one of the choices that I have. It's one of the colors that I have on my palette that I can dab my brush in and throw into the mix, into the painting of your portfolio if I wanted to. But I don't think I will right now. It's not going to enhance your portfolio in any way. The second worst asset class to be in, short-term bonds, otherwise known as cash. The third worst asset class to be in, mortgage bonds. And right down there at number 39 or 40 is U.S. Treasuries. So I ask you, in my opinion, what should be somebody's stock versus bond mix currently, August 2013, why would I want to have any exposure whatsoever to the bond market? What I'm saying is a little bit radical. It goes against the grain. I'm the contrarian here, saying, why do I want to have bonds watering down my portfolio right now when the stock market's going great guns? The stock market's up 20% this year. The bond market is down 12%. A 50-50 mix of stocks versus bonds would water down my performance to next to nothing. I'd have about a 3-4% gain in my portfolio so far this year. A 100% bond portfolio would be down 12%, however. So you might say, well, 3.8 is pretty good. But a 100% stock portfolio would be up 20% this year. So I'm just a big believer in limiting your exposure to the bad performing assets, which would also include the precious metals this year, and which would also include the emerging and international markets this year, and focusing your exposure on the best performing asset classes, to me, makes more logical sense. Okay? Now, the big question is, going forward, is, well, when do you change? Okay, Gunderson, you're 100% stocks right now. Would you remain 100% stocks going forward? I have my eyes in the rearview mirror on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minute-by-minute basis. I'm watching interest rates. I'm watching stock charts. I'm watching hundreds and hundreds of various investments on a daily basis to see how they're performing. I'm looking for those subtle signs that one asset class is starting to poop out, get tired, roll over, and another asset class is starting to move up in the pack. It's just like a mile race. You know, you've got a leader that's way out there in front. Sometimes he's the rabbit. When that rabbit starts to fold, and the runners from the back of the pack start to move up, the whole situation changes. That's going to occur in the market at some point in time. But in the interim, we have a trend in place. And we have a trend in place that's been in place for almost 1 year now. Now, having said that, during the 4.5 years of the bull that we've had, the leadership baton has been handed off several times to different leaders. Here, you take the baton and lead for a while. We're tired. I can remember way back at the beginning of this bull market when it was high-yield junk bonds that led the market. I can remember way back at the beginning of this bull when it was Brazil and China that led this market. I can remember when it was commodities that led this market. And, of course, I can go back to 2008 when nothing led the stock market and bonds led the market. The baton was in the bond market's hands. In 2008, once again, the bond market was up 32% while the stock market was down 38%. I make no claims. I make no guarantees. I invented a tool for my own use called the Best Stocks Now app. And I realized as this thing progressed and as I refined it that I needed a screen in there that ranked the asset classes, just like I was ranking the stocks every single day. So I thought in my mind, what are the various asset classes that I have to choose from? And I found proxies or representatives from those asset classes. For instance, gold. Well, there's an ETF, GLD, that tracks bullion prices. Silver. There's an ETF, SLV, that tracks silver prices. TLT tracks U.S. Treasuries. And so on and so on. And I said, let's include a screen in the app that on a daily basis also ranks the various asset classes. I have been very pleased with the sensitivity on the one hand. It can't be too sensitive or you'd be bouncing around all over the place. And if it's not sensitive enough, you wouldn't get out in time before an asset class collapses. Nor would you get into an asset class early enough to really make money. I'm proud to say that over 1 year ago, you can look on my app at TLT. Take a look at TLT. Punch that in. And look where it was ranked 1 year ago. And watch how it progressed month by month to the depths of hell. There was plenty of warning It didn't happen overnight. I stated last week that 1 year ago, bonds were at the top of the ladder, believe it or not, was interest rates were hitting new lows. And now they're at the bottom of the ladder. And for the last year, bonds have been a bad place to be, and the stock market has been the place to be. We'll get a little bit more specific when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
For years, Be Safe Online Internet Filters has been helping families after they had an internet crisis. A wife caught her husband looking at inappropriate websites, a teen is bullied in an instant message conversation, or a child accidentally clicks through to an adult website. Yes, those families installed Be Safe after the fact, and it helped them. But in many of those cases, damage had already been done to marriages or innocent minds. That's why Be Safe Online wants to protect your family online before something like this happens. Don't be a victim. Go to BeSafe.com today and download the filter, give it an iParenting Media Award for Greatest Products of 2007. Be Safe Online really does have a passion for keeping families, your family, safe online. Go to BeSafeOnline.com today. Be Safe Online comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Download today the letter BeSafeOnline.com. That's BeSafeOnline.com.
Every day, I meet people who are so proud of their stocks, but so humbled by their returns. Is that you? Do you own all the famous stocks of yesteryear? GE, Microsoft, GM, Cisco, whatever. I'm Bill Gunderson, your next wealth manager. People tell me these stocks are safe. The only thing safe about them is that we can safely say that they have been bad investments over the last decade. We can fix it. I write about the best stocks now for MarketWatch, TheStreet.com, and for my newsletter. In the newsletter, you can see three model portfolios, one for aggressive growth, one for conservative growth, and one for income-oriented investors. Check out the performance for yourself. Not paying attention is not a good strategy. Checking out my newsletter is.
Visit Bill's website at pwstreet.com. That's pwstreet.com, or call 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, to get a free 4-week trial. Gunderson Capital Management is a registered investment advisor.
Police called and broke the bad news to Charles. His personal and financial information was found on an identity thief's computer disk. Nervous and confused, Charles called LifeLock, the industry leader in identity theft protection. LifeLock went into action, uncovering multiple fraudulent credit applications the identity thief was trying to open in his name. LifeLock shut them down and helped him restore his good name and credit. Charles found out the hard way that identity theft is a global crime, a crime that's become so complex, you simply can't fight it alone. Your personal and financial information is everywhere. Don't wait for a call from the police before you take action. Visit LifeLock.com now, or call and mention promo code Prager to get a special 10% discount. Call 1-800-921-3820. 1-800-921-3820. 1-800-921-3820. See LifeLock.com for details. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
If you're a high net worth individual and want to stay that way, you have to pay attention to your investments. But some of us don't have the time or the inclination, so we ignore our portfolio and miss big opportunities. You can do better with Gunderson Capital Management. Bill Gunderson is a fee-based money manager for high net worth individuals all across America. You've seen his name in Barron's, Bloomberg, Fox News, MarketWatch, and TheStreet.com. You can put this kind of expertise to work for you, too. Bill tracks over 3,000 stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs. He ranks them on value and performance to find the top 7% of the market. Whether you're conservative, aggressive, or an income investor, Bill Gunderson will get you into the best stocks now. All accounts are safely held at ScottTrade. Visit Bill's website at pwstreet.com, or call Gunderson Capital Management at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Gunderson Capital Management is a registered investment advisor.
Walking to an afternoon meeting, Charlotte reached for the stairwell door. "That door is blocked," Bill said. But Charlotte had used it an hour earlier. Ignoring Bill's caution, she pushed it open. The next sound they heard was the crash of the door hitting a workman's ladder, then a paint can hitting the floor. No need to repeat the painter's reaction. Bill turned to a wide-eyed Charlotte and said, "I warned you not to open the door." This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Good advice does no good if we refuse to listen. The breakdown has something to do with pride. Attentive ears can prevent some colorful messes in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
To the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, we're traveling quite the road here today. We started off by taking a look at the passive versus active investment argument. And of course, John Bogle at Vanguard Funds, probably the lead preacher on passive investing and index investing, his argument is from a fee standpoint. Passive investing in index funds have much lower fees than active investing in active funds. But like I say, you know, just an S&P 500 index has been on quite the wild ride over the last 6 or 7 years. You would have had to suffer through a 51.1% drop from peak to valley during a 17-month period of time. And then, of course, the big run-up that we've had since that valley. So you have to decide for yourself where you stand in the passive versus active investment debate. We've talked about the importance, really a key, really a critical element in my book of investing is your mix between stocks and bonds. And everybody comes at this argument from a different point of view, really. Everybody's got a different opinion. But the conventional, the most popular opinion is you maintain a mix of stocks and bonds in your portfolio based on your age. The markets are not the determinant in changing that mix. It's your age. Now, there's some that go to the next level. Goldman Sachs, for instance, brings Abby Joseph Cohen on from time to time. And she recommends their current, where they stand on the stock versus bond mix. I come at it from a different point of view entirely. I believe in strategically placing your assets in the best asset classes, given the environment that we're in, and avoiding the worst performing assets. I don't believe in being so spread out that you're going to, on the one hand, limit your downside risk. Look, I'll give you that. You're going to limit your downside risk. But you're also going to limit your upside potential tremendously. It's like putting a governor on an engine that'll go 60 so it'll only go 30. But the engine can't flame out either, on the other hand. It can't lose too much. It can't gain too much. It keeps you alive. I prefer instead to move around amongst the asset classes. I just listed the top 10 ranked asset classes in my app. Of the 45 asset classes that I rank on a daily basis, the top 10 have been stock related now for almost 1 year. As bonds completely fell out of bed about a year ago. And they've been falling out of bed and getting worse ever since. They're about, 18% from their peak from 1 year ago. And year to date, they're down 12%. While I repeat that the stock market is up 20%. Okay, so I take this radical viewpoint that people should be invested 100% in stocks right now. If you're not comfortable with that, then put the other whatever percent in cash, but don't put it in bonds because bonds are going down. Bonds are subject to higher interest rates. There's still the freight train coming down. The freight train hasn't passed yet. Interest rates continue to rise. Real estate investment trusts continue to get crushed. Mortgage REITs continue to get crushed. Almost anything that is interest rate sensitive is still on the tracks and is still being run over by the freight train. And so until that freight train passes, let's focus on equities right now. We've already said that domestic equities. Now let's take it one step further. Where at in that domestic equity bucket are the best stocks? Pharmaceuticals, biotech, retail, regional banks, which benefit from rising interest rates, healthcare providers. Throw in a little bit of technology and you pretty much got your bases covered. And avoid the worst performing sectors in the market, like mining stocks, like commodity related stocks, like natural resource related stocks, like gold miners, like telecom, anything real estate right now, emerging markets, agricultural. Those are the worst sectors to be in. What do I recommend going forward? I recommend that you listen to my show on a daily basis. We go through this little exercise at the beginning of each week so that you know where the big picture in the market is at any given time. Because I think I've illustrated just how important it is to be in the right asset classes at any given point in time and out of the wrong ones. Because generally speaking, there's a wide gap, especially a year like this year where you have stocks up 20, bonds down 12. Go back to 2008, you had bonds up 32 and stocks down 38. Man, that's a wide gap. So having your allocation in the right area of the investment world at any given point in time, I believe, remains critical. And if you want to just throw up your hands and say, the heck with it all, go ahead, do your 60-40 bond stock mix, your 50-50 bond stock mix, your 80-20 bond stock mix. Just take a look at how the target mutual funds have done over time. Not very good, not very bad. You limit your upside by a wide margin, and you limit your downside by a wide margin. You creep along at a snail's pace. A snail's pace, in my opinion, is not going to keep you ahead of inflation, which is creeping on along at a little bit faster than a snail's pace. Just go buy a pound of hamburger or a New York steak or a piece of salmon, and you'll know that the pace of inflation is there, even though it's not really being reported as such. I don't believe you're going to keep up by having this wide diversification amongst all these asset classes that completely limit your upside, but at the same time, absolutely, they limit your downside tremendously. So it's your choice. I publish this in the newsletter every weekend. Here's the leading asset classes. Here's the worst asset classes. You can get a four-week trial to my newsletter, and we'll keep sending it to you till you cry uncle. PWStreet.com or 877-611-BEST. That's 877-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.